On this edition of Hidden in Plain Sight, we're taking a drive to northwest Detroit to a quiet residential stretch just south of 8 Mile Road between Myers and Wyoming Avenue, where a 6-foot-high, 1-foot-thick concrete wall runs for about half of a mile. This is the Burwood Wall. Sometimes called the 8-Mile Wall or Detroit's Wailing Wall, and its story is a powerful, sobering reminder of how the architecture of a city can be used to enforce division and how communities can reclaim painful symbols for hope and healing. The Burwood Wall was built in 1941 at the height of Detroit's industrial boom. A white real estate developer named James T. McMillan wanted to build a new subdivision for white families near 8 Mile Road. But there was a problem. The land was adjacent to a thriving black neighborhood. At the time, federal housing policy, specifically the practices of the Federal Housing Administration, refused to back mortgages in areas they deemed risky, and risky was often just a code for racially mixed. Without FHA backing, the developer couldn't get loans for his white clients, so he proposed a solution, both simple and shocking. Build a wall. A literal, physical barrier to separate black and white families, just to satisfy the government's demand for segregation. The wall itself is unremarkable in appearance. It's a cinder block structure with 1 foot buried underground and about 5 feet or so visible above ground. But its purpose was chillingly clear: to keep black Detroiters out of the new white subdivision, Blackstone Park, and to signal to banks and the federal government that this was a safe investment. Safe because it was segregated. For those who grew up in the shadow of the Burwood Wall, its presence was inescapable. Black children on one side, white children on the other. And for some, crossing the wall meant risking harassment or worse. As Fred White, who lived nearby as a child, recalled, that was called the white sub. We had no business down that way unless we were going to the store. And in the 1940s and 50s, the wall was a line you just did not cross. But time, as always, brought change. And by the 1970s, white flight out of the city had transformed the neighborhood. Black families moved in on both sides of the wall, and its original purpose faded. Kids began to see it less as a barrier and more as a challenge. In fact, a rite of passage was to walk along its length, a backdrop for games and laughter for many of the kids in the area. Today, the Burwood Wall still stands, but it has been reclaimed by the community. In 2006, local residents and artists began painting murals on its surface, images of neighborhood children, civil rights heroes like Rosa Parks, and scenes of unity and hope. What was once a symbol of division has really become a canvas for remembrance and reconciliation. In 2021, the Burwood Wall was added to the National Registry of Historic Places, and its story officially recognized as part of the American Civil Rights narrative. It stands now not just as a relic of segregation, but as a living lesson, a reminder of how policy and prejudice can shape the very landscape we live in, and how communities can transform even the harshest of symbols of exclusion into monuments and resilience and progress. The Burwood Wall's story is not just Detroit's story. It really is America's story. It's a story of barriers, but also of the enduring hope that one day walls will be painted over and what once divided us can help bring us together. And the Burwood Wall still stands today, and it is hidden in plain sight.